I hope you're thirsty this morning, because the great invitation is for us to come. And Isaiah chapter 55 is a great chapter, the invitation to come. In fact, several chapters before this, the prophet Isaiah had been inching up to this great sermon about coming to Jesus Christ. And chapter 52, it says, "Behold my servant," singular, talking about Jesus Christ. He is our suffering servant. In 53, as he builds on up, it says, "We all went astray like sheep. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Shows of our sin, and Jesus Christ is our suffering servant. Still in the singular, chapter 54. And then it says, "This is the heritage of the servants," plural. The heritage, what Jesus Christ done for us in the plural. That means their righteousness, or his righteousness, is for us. I hope you expect to go to heaven. I hope everybody in their right mind would want to go to heaven. But you know, to go to heaven, that you got to be perfect. You got to be perfect to go to heaven. And you got to be righteous to go to heaven. We said, well, that leaves me out. If it weren't for Jesus Christ, it would leave us all out. Because none of us are perfect in our own means, and none of us have the righteousness. But when you accept what Jesus Christ done for you, the gift on Calvary's cross, and he passed on his righteousness to you. You can't earn righteousness. You can't buy righteousness. You can't add to righteousness. You can't take away from righteousness. It's his righteousness, and it is a gift through salvation. And whenever God sees you, he sees you in Christ Jesus after you are saved, and you are in the righteousness of Christ. You are perfect as Jesus Christ is perfect. He sees you in Jesus Christ. I'm glad he don't see us in our sin, but he sees us in Christ Jesus, because he can't see your sins through the blood of Jesus. So plural, what he's passed on to all of us. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the water, and he that have no money, come ye and buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Let us pray. Father, we thank you on this great occasion, one of the greatest occasions in the world, whenever you extend your invitation to whosoever will. Father, today is the Holy Spirit working with each person here. If they be a person that has never really accepted you, never had a personal experience with a living, rolling Savior, Father, we know that the Holy Spirit will be working with that person today. Father, if you're here and you know that you're saved without a shadow of a doubt, will you just be praying for that person inside of you? Father, that person that may not be saved, we don't know who's saved because we're not God. Father, we'll just be praying today that maybe someone here today would accept that great invitation. There's no other way to be saved except when the Lord is working with you. And today, we know you're here by appointed time and by the appointment of God and by the what reason that you thought you was coming here today. Today is the day of salvation. The Lord says, come, those are thirsty, with the righteousness he wants to give unto you. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. He wants to extend his righteousness to each and every one of us. It's a gift. To all the people of God, it wants this gift. It's free to them, plural. He follows a picture in Isaiah of overflowing results for the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And what you hear today, did you know it's an overflowing work, what he done 2,000 years ago? It's been overflowing in the hearts of people. From the very first church until the day until Jesus Christ comes to take the church out of this world, it's been an overflowing process what Jesus Christ done on the cross of Calvary, not just a one-time thing. The servants of the Lord, plural, follows a picture of this overflowing work to bring us as servants of God, each and every one of us. Now, 55 is one of these great chapters, as we're fixing to read some verses in it, because it is a great invitation chapter. But you see, the Bible that I hold here is one book of invitation of the Lord. This is the Lord inviting mankind to come to the fountain of living water. The whole book. It ain't just the New Testament. It's not just the Gospels. It's the whole book. It's a book of invitation for anybody. It would come, say, come to the Lord. In the book of Genesis, we find out whenever God told Noah to build an ark. When that ark was finished, 120 years, he says, Noah, he says, come into the ark, you and your family. That word come is God's word. Now, there's a lot of translations that's changed it. And it says, Noah, you and the family, go in the ark. But when it says, Noah, you and the family, come into the ark, you come where I'm at. You're going into the ark, God's here, and you're going into the ark. There's a lot of difference as you come into the ark. That great chapter of John, chapter 14, Jesus Christ says, where I am, you shall be also. Come unto Jesus Christ is the great cry today. And it says, for you and your families. Do y'all believe in a reunion in heaven? I do. I believe the Bible teaches that. I do not believe whenever you say goodbye here on this earth, that both of you know the Lord Jesus Christ or your family knows Jesus Christ and saved. I do not believe this will be the end. I believe death will be the beginning of open door of eternity. And I believe we'll have a reunion one day in heaven as the Bible says. But not only that, the book of Genesis, it says come. In the book of Revelation, in the last chapter of the last book in the Bible, of Revelation 22, it says, the Spirit and the Bridegroom says, come. The whole book of the Bible is talking about come, and that's the word today is to come. Come to the water freely. In the first chapter of Isaiah, chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And he extends that throughout his book in Isaiah. Already issued, to start with, in the first chapter, already issued the great invitation. And that great invitation today has come to Jesus Christ. Anyone in here, young and old, it says to come to Jesus Christ. But you must act on this invitation. Many people have heard this, they have not acted on it. Isaiah chapter 55, in this same chapter, in verse 3, it says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Skip down to verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he shall be found. Call upon him while he is near. He piles up verb after verb after verb for us to do something about it. The invitation, come to Jesus Christ. If you want to go to heaven, if you want a Savior. You see, any rational person, I believe today, would want to go to heaven. I believe anybody would want to go to heaven. And the door is wide open as Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, his hands are stretched out. The door is wide open to come if you want Jesus Christ. And you want what he offers, which is eternity in heaven with him. Well, the first thing we find out, this invitation is freely. I mean, it's free. Nobody's going to force you. It's free. And it is extended. It is an extended invitation to all mankind. That first verse that I read, H-O, ho. You know what that means? God's trying to get our attention. Hey, you. Come. That's what that word is talking about. Trying to get our attention. Anybody asleep this morning? Hey, trying to get our attention, but not just here in church, but all day long, the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, trying to get our attention, trying to say, hey, young lady, older lady, man and woman, the good and the bad and the ugly, that ought to cover about all of us, hadn't it? That's what he's saying. Oh, trying to get our attention. Everyone that thirst, the title, come to the water. This is one of the great invitations. Now, to us, when it says come to the water, that don't mean a whole lot to us today because, you see, we don't put very much value on water. But this was a Jew speaking to Jews, Isaiah, in the Middle East. Now, in the Middle East, water is extremely, even today, very, very valuable and very precious. Don't mean much to us today, but there was always been a shortage in the Middle East of water. Even in this country, I can remember when they used to say, you don't never miss the water till the well goes dry. For a lot of people here today, that's just a saying. But if you live through those days, I tell you, you just don't know how much water you use till you have to haul your water. You don't know how much water it takes to wash your clothes till you have to haul that water. You don't know how much water a horse can drink or a mule can drink till you have to haul that water. You don't know how much water chickens or hogs or cows. You just don't know how much water you use in a day's time unless you had to haul that water. And then I see people as they're hauling that water and mules and wagons and sleds and whatever else they had to go because the well was dry. You know what they done? They didn't know how much water they really did use, but they say they didn't miss that well near as much until the well went dry. And this is talking about the dry time. And it's, hey, it's like someone walking down the streets of the Middle East today in some of these towns, and they are water salesmen. And they say, hey, come get your water. Now, water, like I say, don't mean much to us today. But I've been to Mexico, and we give out a lot of trinkets, a lot of food, a lot of different things. We always carry our water because you can't drink the water. We carry our waters over in bottled waters a lot of time with ice. And you know one of the greatest gifts that you might give somebody over there whenever they see a cooler that's got ice water in it and a bottle? You don't think nothing about water. It don't have to be cold water, but if it is cold water, that's much better. Because they don't have the water to drink as you and I have. They drink out of old canals. No toilets, if you know what a toilet is, sitting outhouse or sitting on the side of the bank, and they still out there drinking out of that water. You don't know how much you miss, how much it's clean water. Richie, that's the reason they're moving into these villages, because they're showing them they care about living water, about how to purify the water to drink. And they know they care about it because the water is so precious. Water that you drink is so very, very precious, the gift of cold water. If I were to tell my grandmother back in her days that you could sell a bottle of water for a dollar, she would not believe that. You are crazy. Selling a bottle of water for a dollar? You crazy. Nobody would never believe that. I wouldn't believe that. I wouldn't believe it that you had to go around McDonald's to buy a biscuit. If I told my granny the other day, lined up to buy biscuits, she wouldn't ever believe you had to line up to buy a biscuit. She made millions of them. But water, bottles of water, because people are thirsty. Here, the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ walking through the malls or walking through the town with water and saying, come, get this water. Be like sometime maybe out on a ball field and people, you know, you go and watch your kids play ball out there in the summertime. You're just hot and hot, and there get you a good old cup of that water, a good old bottle of water. It's just cold. Man, that is real, real good. But you see, the invitation is extended, but the invitation is universal for everybody to come and to drink, to all the world. To the Middle East, where it's dry in the desert, the Muslims and all religion today, to come to this water. Come and get this water. All we have to do is just teach about this living water. Verse 1, whoa, everyone that thirst. Now, thirst is a symbolic of a desire and a sense of need. If you've ever been thirsty, very few of us has really ever been thirsty, but it is a sense of desire and a sense of need. Everyone at thirst come to the water, because God had made a provision to satisfy you of satisfaction. Not only just that, for in every need of this body, you know God made this body, and there's a bunch of needs of this body, and God has made a satisfaction for every need that he has made in this body. He has provided that for us. God made you where you have to have water to live. You cannot live without water. God made you that way. And you get thirsty. And he made you that you have to have water. God's answer to thirst, water. You see, there's thirst of the body. Really, really, really been thirsty? If you ever really, really been thirsty, somebody offers you a Coke and that don't satisfy your thirst. Give you a glass of tea, that don't satisfy your thirst. Coffee don't satisfy. You know what really satisfies? A good, clear, cold glass of water. God made you that way. Thirst for the soul, and God's answer to that is just pure living water. But you see, there's a thirst of emotional to our bodies also. We need companionship. You know what God said? God's answer is our mates, our wives, and our husbands, our family, and our friends, our relationship, and our church family. Now, I feel sorry for different ones that has to go off and have to work off fathers. Sometimes it'll be a week before they get back home and they see their family. It's bad. It's bad whenever someone's in the military and they go off for months at a time because, you see, there is an emotional need for that person. But they're away from their family. But what a great reunion when they get back home. What a great reunion. You see, God made us that same way in our family and our friends. You know, God made us that way emotional in our church. Sometimes people may go for months and months and months and months and maybe longer without coming to church, having their emotional family here at church and don't see them every once in a while. God's answer to that is for you to come. Come to church because there is an emotional need, and his answer is fellowship. But you see, there's also a thirst of the mind. And that thirst of the mind is this knowledge. I mean, we have the knowledge today. God's answer is learning and art, and whether it be literature or music or whatever it might be. But now today, it's computers, internet, iPhone, iPads, whatever else you want to call them. So much information, but you see, there's a thirst of the mind to know more and more. Look at people only just can't get enough of it, just can't get enough of it. It's the desire of the mind. And God answer, you know, is for the knowledge because we want it. God answer is knowledge. But you see, the worst thing and the best thing also is a thirst of the soul. Now, God answer, only commodity that will satisfy the thirst of the soul is Jesus Christ. Only thing that will satisfy the thirst of the soul. And God has made your soul to thirst for Jesus. Run if you want to. You'll be thirsty the rest of your life. There are people out there right now are starving to death for Jesus Christ. Starving. Whosoever will. As we come to the church, you know, and a lot of times people come to church, you know, and it's like, man, I got to go to church. It's like taking a long dose of medicine. I got to come and take my medicine. If you got the answer, you know, I got to go take my medicine because I got to come to church. You know, sooner or later, if you take enough of medicine, one day you'll feel better. That's what a lot of people think. Man, I got to go to church. One day, I know it's bad, but we'll just endure it this morning. And, you know, after a while, I know it'll make me feel better. Maybe like it is on Wednesday night whenever maybe somebody ought to pray, Lord, help us to endure while the rest of them are having fun. We have a few on Wednesday night. Is that the way it really is? Or do you enjoy the fellowship with God and God's people? If you do not, you know what you're doing? You're depending on something else in this world to satisfy your relationship with Jesus Christ. Something else calling you to satisfy besides the relationship of Jesus Christ. Come, he says. Come, come, come. Salvation. That's why I love to come to church, because it gives me joy, joy, joy. You see, I thirst to come and see you. I thirst to be with God's people. I thirst to read the Word of God. Do you thirst? Now, my car has been empty a lot of times with gas, but my car has never been thirsty. We have a lot of empty cars. We don't have a lot of people that's thirsty for God. They're empty, but they're not thirsting for God. It says, if you thirst for God, you'd be finding out where you can get some water from if you was thirsty. The invitation is without price. And that one, oh, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the water, and he that have no money, come buy, eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come if you don't have no money. Come, it says, and I give you something with no price. You don't have to worry about paying for it. I give you something that's free. Now, there's three beverages that's mentioned there in that verse of scriptures. You see, a lot of it, especially in the Old Testament, symbolic, water, wine, and also milk. Well, there's three different beverages says to come, and it's not talking about the people that didn't have any money to buy milk with or wine with, but it's talking about you don't have the right kind of currency. Now, these three beverages, the symbolic of water, in John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. Now, this is whenever Jesus Christ had the last day of the feast. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. 38 says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In Leviticus chapter 23, there's a feast. There's seven different feasts. This is the last of the feast day, we find out in John chapter 7. This feast, of the, when he goes down to the pool of Siloam, dips some water in there, walks down the street and pours it out. He's pouring it out. Anybody at thirst, he says to come. It's a picture of life. Symbol of water is the picture of life. You out there on the desert and you dehydrated, I'm going to tell you what, you're starving to death. You know, I like Westerns. I like Westerns. That's about all I watch is old Westerns. Sometimes somebody gets caught out there in the desert in these old Westerns and, you know, the lips is unparched and turned wrong side out, you know, and look like they can't make another step, you know, and they just starving for water. And maybe he might have a sack of gold under his arm because he'd been toting that sack of gold. You know what? He'll give up that sack of gold anytime for just a canteen full of water. I mean, he'll give that up anytime just for a little bit of water. And you know what? He don't care about the price of it. The object is water, and that's what he wants. Have you ever been thirsty? And a person is thirsty, I'll tell you what, God is seeking out that person that's thirsty. Come whenever you need. There'll come a time when you need to believe in Jesus Christ with all your heart because you're going to thirst for him. There's going to come a time when all this money and all these things of this world that people are seeking after for satisfaction will not do them any good. They'll want Jesus. It's going to come a time for every one of us. Nothing will satisfy but the presence of the Lord. You know, people across America in churches today, I mean, they hear sermons today by very, very great preachers, and I mean solid rock preachers, but they kind of like watching television. You hear a sermon, they don't tend to do anything about it. They just hear, just like you see or watch a program on television. Come to this living water. But then the symbol of wine, all through the Bible it says it's wine. The wine, you know, is a symbol of joy in the Lord. Joy. A lot of people says, well, I don't have to come back Sunday. I don't have to go. I don't have to come to Sunday school. I don't have to give. I don't have to tithe. I don't have to do that. You don't have to. Where's your joy? You know the reason I come? Because I want to. And God give us an opportunity to come. I get a chance to. So it's not that you have to. The joy of the Lord is coming. And then the symbol of milk. 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babe desire sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Boy, you don't have to teach your baby to drink milk. Boy, I tell you, they'll drink milk. I mean, because that's what they born to do is drink milk. They thirst for milk. It's the desire that God give them. Desire that God, if a person is saved, God has given you that desire to read and study the Word of God. This great invitation is without preparation, nothing that you have to do. In verse 2 of this same chapter, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfy not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in the fatness of it. Now what he's talking about here, why do you waste your money on junk food? You know, that's what most people are doing in this world. I'm not talking about real junk food, but that's what people's doing. Most of the time, most of their life, they're just junk food is all it is. Seeking after things that do not satisfy. You know, you can go down there and get you a, some junk food down there at a convenience store, a pack of crackers. You know what? A little while you're hungry again, because it don't satisfy. You get you some good old lima beans and ham hocks and crackers and cornbread. Huh? Are there a difference? I'm telling you, because you know that will satisfy. The junk food won't stay with you. You won't satisfy looking for substitutes for the soul. Most of us had cotton candy, have we not? I mean, big old cotton candy, you just get a mouthful of cotton candy, it just disappears, don't it? There's no substance. Well, I tell you what, there's a bunch of cotton candy preaching on television, Mr. TV, I can tell you that right now. There's a bunch of cotton candy preaching on television. No substance, no nourishment. And this whole world is looking for truth. And I tell you, there's a lot of people today that are just looking, and they just cannot find it because they're not looking in the right place. It says there, verse 2, it says again, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in the fatness. Be satisfied. Get something that'll settle down in your heart. It's a picture now of the richness of life. You know, when you get through eating a big old Christmas dinner or a big old Thanksgiving dinner, I mean, I shouldn't eat that much. And you can hardly make it to the recliner. That's what he's talking about. Buddy, after eating a good meal of the Lord, you don't care about nothing. Then somebody could come in and offer you a pack of crackers after you got through eating that Sunday dinner. You ain't want no crackers. You're full of the good stuff. That's what he's saying here. You're full of the good stuff, the fatness of it. In verse 3 it says, incline your ear and come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. In the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel, God made a covenant with David, and he poured out his mercy upon David. And we've seen this in the fulfillment of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whenever Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, this mercy was poured out on David. Acts chapter 13 and verse 34 says, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said, on the wise, I will give you the sure mercy of David. He's passed that on to everybody, that we won't have to worry about it. We arise whenever Jesus Christ rose from the dead. This resurrection, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has poured out the mercy of David. No price. He done it all on the cross of Calvary. He said there in verse 4, behold, I'll give him a witness to the people, a leader and commandment to the people. Man, a witness. Jesus Christ in Revelation is called the faithful witness. The Jews was called the Jehovah Witnesses of God in the Old Testament. They was God's Jehovah Witnesses. When one of these Jehovah Witnesses come knocks on your door, just ask him what tribe is he from. Because of their Jehovah Witness, they got to be a Jew and from a tribe of the nation of Israel, which there's nothing in the world but just hell-bound people that's got a twisted up mind, warped up mind about salvation. They think they have to work their way to heaven. But now the Jews failed to be that faithful witness, and he passed on to the church. Are we failing today? In my hand, O price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. The invitation is very, very urgent. In chapter 6 of this chapter, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Seek the Lord. That means beat a path down for the Lord. Right now, you ought to be ready. If you're not saved, you know what? You ought to be ready right now when I give the invitation to come. No matter what people thinks, no matter what people says, it's what you and God knows about yourself. While he can be found, call on him while he's near. And it's only the Holy Spirit that's dealing with you when you can come. Now, if you're lost here this morning, don't think, you say, well, that preacher is right, but you, I'm just not quite ready. I will go back, and I got some things in my life that I need to straighten out, and I need to quit doing some things I need to start doing. And next Sunday, I'll come back and get saved. You won't do it. You know why I know that's so true? Because I tried it. You can't do it. God don't expect you to do it. He says for you to come just like you are. Because you know, he know you can't be no better. You can't do nothing to please him. You can't live good enough to please God. None good, no, not one. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Only when the Holy Spirit is wooing you to come to the water. There may be a never another time. You see, the urgency is, if you're here today and you're lost, and you know that you need to be saved, the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, you may not never, ever get another chance. You know, this past week, there was a lady over in Bristol, and I think there was a trailer with cardboard on it. She swerved to miss him and hit some Mexicans head on. Two or three of them died, I don't know. You know what, that could have been you, just as good as it could have been me. Just that fast, and they was gone out in eternity. Just that fast. You don't know if you'll have another chance next week. How fast it is. The urgency is. I got to think about urgency. You ever call 911? Most of us probably have. You know, every time that you call 911, is it not an emergency? God is saying 911 now. And then verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. The wicked forsake his ways, and forgiveness is coming, it's being offered. Now the wicked. Who is the wicked? Oh, I know who the wicked is. They're one over there, those extreme terrorists, and they're cutting heads off of people. And they're the one that's going into schools and killing little boys and girls and torturing people. That's the wicked. No, that's not the wicked he's talking about. Well, how about, they may be, but how about the ones now that's on death row for serial killers that's killed many boys and girls or many people? Who's the wicked he's talking about? Did you know that could be what he's speaking of here? Let the wicked forsake his ways. You know, the wicked could be on the roll of this church. Did you know there may be a person sitting here right now that God is ascribing to that person the wickedness? Hey, I ain't killed nobody. I ain't done anything bad. I've been a good mother. I've been a good person. Let me tell you what he's talking about, this wicked. It's somebody or anybody that lives their life without any reference of God whatsoever in their life. Live their life as there's no reverence of God whatsoever, no care about no things of God, the people of God, the Word of God, nothing. Raise their family as they are no God. They are the one that God is describing here, the wicked. No reverence for God, and they're all around us every day. Some of them may be in our homes. Raising their kids as they are no God, they are called wickedness. Oh, they may have their name on a church roll. They may have their name on several church rolls. But I tell you, it's going to take more than their name on a church roll to get them to heaven. It's going to take more than that. No time. The wickedness refers to no time for God. The unrighteousness, man and his thoughts. You see, the wicked ways, that's the outward with no life of God. The unrighteous is the thoughts, the inward life. What you think determines, you know, how you behave. There's a nearness and all of the forgiveness there in verse 7. Also it says, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There is forgiveness there. When you return and recognize that God is a God of your life. When and ever, if they get a chance to return, to let them know that God is running their life. But they are no God. There is no God in their life. Let him return unto the Lord. Repentance. Repentance. And the third thing, the invitation is so powerful. In verse 8 it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Your thoughts. You know what God says? You don't think like I do. You don't. Your ways are not my ways. You don't do the way I do. That's what God's saying. You don't think? We think different. Because we think different about self, and we think different about sin, and we think different about salvation than God does. You can't be a good old boy and go to heaven. You think you're a good person this morning? You think you're good enough to go to heaven this morning? Is there anybody think they're good enough? You think you've done enough for God? It says you can't work enough. There ain't no way. Verse 9, it says in this chapter, it says, for the heavens are higher than the earth. His ways higher than our ways. And then you see the power of salvation he gives. He says now in verse 10 and 11, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not hither, but waters the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, for it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things thereunto I send it. The word this morning is going out. But it's not about me, and it's not about me and Brother Marshall, Brother Darrell. Whenever you stand out here a preacher preach, buddy, it ain't got nothing to do with us. It's God's word. It's God's word. I don't know what God is talking to you about this morning, but I can assure you one thing. I know that he's talking to you. And also, I know there's another voice talking to you. There's a devil's voice that's talking to you also. You got to heed which one is right. Because you see, he says, my word will accomplish. There's life, death, and hell. The power of the word of God in Ephesians 2 and 7 says, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kingdom toward us through Christ Jesus. One of these days he's going to show us off in heaven. Verse 12 and 13 goes into the millennial now. Isaiah does, 1,000 years of the reign of Christ is ye. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off forever and forever and forever and forever. It says for us to come. Jesus Christ has proven this in the thousand reign of Christ. You see, this morning, if you're thirsty, he says to come to the water of life and drink. If you're thirsty. You know the problem, people today, they're just not thirsty. But if you are thirsty, there's living water that Jesus Christ is offering for you. I know that y'all heard Brother Richie Adams speak about the Amazon River. The Amazon River is one of the greatest rivers in the world. In fact, more water flows through the Amazon River than the Mississippi, the Nile River, and the Ganges River all put together. They say the current can be felt 200 miles out in the southern Atlantic Ocean because of that river is so powerful. In the ship sailing days, when they had the wooden ships and they had to carry what water they could carry on, there was a ship had run out of water. And the seaman was starving for water. And they saw another ship sailing by the mouth of the Amazon River. They signaled to the ship, said, we need water, that we're starving for water. They're dying. Our sailors are dying. We need water. It flashed back for the signal, says, let down your buckets. They signaled back, says, you don't understand. We need drinking water. The message came back to him, says, let down the bucket. Where are you at? They said, you don't understand. We need drinking water. Flash, come back. Let down your buckets. Where are you at? They finally let down their buckets, and it was fresh water flowing out of the Amazon River, miles out from the coast. And you know what's wrong with people today? You're looking for something, and all you got to do is just let down your buckets where you at. It's right before us. You don't have to worry about going off and hauling water or buying water in the bottle. It says, let down your buckets. Plenty of water for you to drink. And all you got to do is let them down. Today, people is raising their kids and they are perishing to death because they don't have life. The mothers and fathers are perishing. The kids are perishing. Because they don't have life. Starving for the water of life, and all they have to do is let down the buckets. Wouldn't it be a good time, father and mothers, you a father and mother here today, wouldn't it be a good time to give to your children a Christian mother and daddy? And all you have to do is come to the water. But not only that, you know, Wouldn't it be a good time, child, you old enough age of accountability, you don't know Jesus Christ, to come and give your mother and father a Christian son or daughter? Wife, wouldn't it be good to give your husband? Husband, wouldn't it be good to give your wife? Mother, wouldn't it be good? Whatever it might be today. You've never accepted Jesus Christ. You never walked down a church aisle. You've never been baptized. Baptism is a symbol of what Christ has already done in your heart. Church home, God expects everybody to have a church home. You need a church home. You need a house, a home to go to when you leave here. You need a church home, and I tell you, you need a heavenly home. God has provided that in Christ Jesus if you want to go to that heavenly home. We're going to give an invitation. I don't know if anybody's thirsty, but I want you to look at this. Boy, that's good. Damn. That's good water. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Because if you're not thirsty, you're not going to care a thing in the world about coming to drink. But I'm going to tell you, it's good and it's satisfying. And that is the water of life in Jesus Christ. As we come now with the invitational, come to this water, this living water. You and all your family, come, come, come. You ever made it a public profession? You need to come to Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to bow right now in prayer. Father Jesus, as they bow in their head, and there may be a person here who's never accepted you. Maybe a child, young or old, we don't know. But Father, right now, we know the Holy Spirit is dealing with each one that's not saved. And Father, there's a person here, I want them to understand, all they have to do is say, Jesus Christ, I understand that I'm not saved. I have a thirst for your water of life, and I'm just going to ask you this hour, right now, that nobody knows about this but just me and you. But Jesus, I'm asking you as a young person, I'm asking you as an old person, whoever it might be, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe what that preacher is saying. Holy Spirit of God has convicted me by the word of God, the power of God, that I need to turn about face and repent of my sins. And I believe that you have all power in heaven and earth. And if I ask you to come into my heart and save me and forgive me, you will. And right now I'm asking you to come into my heart and to save me. Lord, that I want to be with you in heaven. If you have prayed this prayer, now you need to thank him for doing that for you. And you do that by getting up out of your seat and walking forward to accept Jesus Christ publicly in the name of the Lord. As we stand now with an invitation hymn.